Amen. Thank you, Dwayne and Becca, and also Ryan. Boy, Ryan done a good job on them drums, didn't he? Amen. There's about 100 guys out there said, I'd like to try that. I believe I could play that instrument. That's about the only one I believe I could play, but I believe I could play that. I could make a joyful noise, I believe. I don't know if Jamie could even play that or not. Jamie, you think he'd play that? All right. Good to see you today. Thank you for being here. I really appreciate you today. Let me just say this, flash bulletin. Whoever's praying for rain, please slack up a little bit, all right? I don't know who you are, but I'm telling you what, you got connections. Man, has it been raining almost every day. I know people in Texas would love to have you visit them, all right? But thank you so much for being here today. I know a lot of people are traveling, vacation times and all of that, but you're here. And let me say a word of encouragement. Please pray for your church when you're away. And if you're on vacation or wherever, please tend the church there. And you get a lot of ideas. You really will when you tend to other churches and when you're on vacation. And let me encourage you to do that. And then make it on back. And when you're out on vacation, just send your tithe on in, all right? Just take off and... Can I get a witness? Bradley told me to say that. Bradley said it right there. Say this. Anyway, I appreciate you so much. You see, we're still operating during the summer, right? And so we appreciate your investment in Lindsay Lane. Open your Bibles today to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians. Today I'm bringing Wednesday night to Sunday morning. See, some of you don't come on Wednesday night. Why, I don't know, but you don't come. And so I'm preaching through the epistles of Paul, the letters of Paul. And I've just got finished preaching through 1 and 2 Thessalonians. But I skipped 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 so you could get involved in Wednesday night, what we're doing on Wednesday nights. But really, I really want this subject is something that's really on my heart. It's very prevalent to where we are in our society in a dispensational age of where we're living in biblical end times. And so I thought I would just take the month of June and do a series entitled The Coming Apostasy. The Coming Apostasy. So over the next 3 weeks or so, I'm going to be talking about this subject, the coming apostasy. And we're going to be talking, just like we do on Wednesday nights, we're going to be talking about this subject out of 2 Thessalonians. Now, today I'm going to talk about the reality of a great falling away. And I'll share more about that, but did you know before Jesus comes back, before the great tribulation time, there's going to be a falling away. And so I believe we're seeing some of that even today. And then, of course, the Sunday after that's Father's Day. Next Sunday's Father's Day, so I'll have a Father's Day message, I'm sure. And then the third week, in June 22nd, I'll be speaking on the revealing of the Antichrist. A lot of you think you already know who he is, right? But you don't. But we're going to be talking about the revealing of the Antichrist. There is one coming on the scene called the Antichrist, the son of perdition. And so I'm going to have a whole message on that on June the 22nd. And then on June the 29th, I'll be talking about the last part of the 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. You do know he's coming back, right? The Lord Jesus is returning. He's coming back for his church, and we'll talk about that as well. So I'm excited about this series, The Coming Apostasy, and today we're going to look at the first 12 verses. We're going to talk about some of those, and then we're going to be just going through this series. I won't get finished with all the message today, and that's what I like about a series. I'll just continue the next time. All right, so let's look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and let's read verses 1 through 12. The coming apostasy, the great falling away. Now, brethren, he's writing to the church of Thessalonica. He's writing to Christians here, but listen to what he says. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, there it is. And look at this, our gathering together to him. That's the parousia in the Greek text. That's the rapture. He mentions the rapture here in verse number 1. He says, now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you, not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had already come. They were thinking it already come, and I'll share more about that. Now notice verse number 3. Here's where I'm getting this from. Let no one deceive you by any means. And there's a lot of people out there with deception. The devil is the author of deceit. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first. And the son of sin, man, the son of man of sin, the devil, if you will, lawlessness, the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of perdition. And that's the Antichrist. Notice verse 4, it talks about him in the next few verses. He, the Antichrist, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? So many sermons we forget. Paul reminds him, I preached on that. Remember, I told you guys that. And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery, the hidden truth of lawlessness is already at work. Only he, capital H in my Bible, only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And that's a reference to the Holy Spirit of God. Did you know the Holy Spirit of God right now is restraining God from coming back already and bringing judgment upon the world? The Holy Spirit that's in the church, that's you and I, that lives in us, the church. So in essence, the Holy Spirit in the church is what's restraining the judgment from coming this very day. Because more people are being saved. We need to pray. That's why we're sending out missionaries. That's why we're putting translation in other languages so people can hear the gospel. So they can come while we have time. There's a day when it's over, when Jesus comes back. So now, the day is a day of salvation. So, amen? Now, for the mystery of lawlessness is already at work, and he's restraining. Verse 8, and then the lawless one, that'd be the Antichrist, Satan, will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. Hallelujah, we win because we belong to Jesus. He's speaking of the battle of Armageddon here in the end times. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. That means deception. He uses deception. And with all unrighteousness, deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they may be saved. They rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of John 3:16 of the Father. They rejected it that they may be saved. Verse 11. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Father, I pray today you would speak to our heart. Lord, as we preach from your word, as we talk about the coming apostasy, I pray, O Lord, for the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God that you would fill me and fill this place. And fill us with your truth that we may understand and know the truth of the Word of God. So, Lord, bless us during this series. Bless us today, Lord, as we talk about that falling away. I pray you would help us to be, Lord, sincere to the contextual truth of your Word. And speak, O Lord, speak, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the Apostle Paul is giving us an insight of things to come. Eschatology is the word that we use. It's the end times. It's the things to come. So he's given us insight in this particular passage of Scripture. And that's why I'm excited about 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and sharing it with you. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 contains truth found nowhere else in the Bible. It's the key to understanding future events, and it's certainly the key to understanding this entire epistle that Paul has written, the second letter to the church of Thessalonians. They were experiencing a state of confusion. The Thessalonian Christians were in a state of confusion over the return of Jesus Christ. So in 2 Thessalonians, the Apostle Paul begins to address this doctrinal error that had crept into the Thessalonian church concerning the return of Christ, the great day of the Lord. Now, some of them were confused in that they thought it was already happening. If you remember in chapter 1 of 1 Thessalonians, we talked about it on Wednesday night, they were under severe persecution. Now, in that day and time in the church, they were under a lot of persecution, a lot of suffering for the cause of Christ. And so Paul had been talking about the coming of the Lord, and the Old Testament saints over and over prophesied the great and terrible day of the Lord, the day of the Lord, the return of God. And so that's coming. And so during their persecution and their trial and tribulation, they just took upon themselves, they thought it was already here. They were in the early stages of the great tribulation time. And so they thought that being persecuted, it was ushered in the great tribulation. But it wasn't then. Because before the great and terrible day of the Lord, the tribulation period, the coming second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, before that happens, the church will be raptured out. And so Paul was very explicit about that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. In verses 13 through 18, Paul gives us insight to the rapture of the church, how the Lord Jesus Christ will come back and we'll meet him in the air. And that's the bema seat of Christ. It's the parousia. That's what he means in verse number 1. Look in verse number 1 again of our text. Brethren, concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, notice this, and our gathering together to him. That's the rapture of the church. That precedes the second coming of God, if you will, the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. That precedes the tribulation period. Also, the great falling away precedes the great tribulation period as well. So these things must happen, the rapture, the falling away, before the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ when he comes to bring judgment on the earth. That's what we mean by that, and I'll talk more about that. So I really want you to understand the chronological order of the end times. And we'll talk more about that when we talk about the Antichrist. But I want you to get that today, and I want you to understand that. And see, look in verse 2. Paul says, listen, guys, the end time's not coming yet. Second coming's not coming yet. First of all, I told you about the rapture, and then there's got to be a great falling away. Now, what was happening? They were shaking in their mind. Look in verse 2. They were troubled. They were shaken in their mind, and they were troubled by every spirit, every utterance, if you will, and by word, people who were spreading the word around, and by the spirit, if you will, and by the letter. Now, some had thought that the letter Paul had sent was concerning the day of the Lord, and somebody else had either sent one. Paul didn't send that. Paul didn't start teaching him about the day of the Lord's upon you. Evidently, someone else had sent one telling them that the day of the Lord is at hand, if you will. The great tribulation time is at hand. And Paul addresses that. Look what he says. Don't be shaken in your mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us. It wasn't from him. It was somebody else. As though the day of Christ had come. Now, for instance, last night, you were sitting there watching television and your cable goes off and the winds get up and starts lightning and thundering. And the first thing you start doing is said, uh-oh, tornado. Could be a tornado. So you start getting a little anxious, right? So you got a little anxious last night. The wind was blowing, a tree could blow in your house, all of these things. So you immediately your mind is beginning to shake. Outside, the storm's coming, and boy, your mind's starting to remember because you've seen this destruction, and you know it can come. And so immediately, your mind begins to think, uh-oh, turn on the weather alert, honey. Ethel, get the weather alert out of the closet. See what's happening out there. But I'm telling you, the judgment of God's not coming on the great tribulation because you're going to be raptured out before that happens. So you don't have to worry about the Lord. If you're a Christian, you don't have to worry about the Lord coming in great tribulation because you're going to be raptured out, just like these Christians. They were concerned, well, we're in the judgment, man, all hell's fixing to break loose. No, the church will be raptured out before that period of time when all Hades breaks loose. Amen? And so they were shaken in mind, they were upset, and they'd had a letter evidently from someone telling them the end times was here, all of those things. You hear it all the time with these prophets on TV. I'm telling you, on Thursday, 2054, it's going to happen. Well, one day it is, but it's never going to happen when they say it is. It's going to happen when the Father gives the Word and the Son, right? That's when it's going to happen. And so you need to understand that we are Christians and we are in the church. We're the part, the church being the body of Christ, and we're going to be raptured out before that time comes. So it's very imperative you understand before the great tribulation. And Paul gives evidence to that. He's talked about that in chapter 1 in verse 1 Thessalonians 4:17. Listen to what he says. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse number 17. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up, gathered together, the parousa, raptured, together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. That's going to happen before the day of the Lord comes, that the Old Testament prophets mention, and the great tribulation time. And then another passage, look in 1 Thessalonians 5:9. Look in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 9. For God did not appoint us to wrath. There's a great, terrible wrath coming upon planet Earth. It's called the day of the Lord. It's called destruction, like this world has never even imagined, much less known. But notice what he says. God didn't appoint us to that wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we'll be raptured out. So I want you to understand that part of it. Now, Jesus Christ is coming back in the air, and we're going to go up. We're raptured up and meet him. But the second coming, he's coming back on the earth and set up the millennial kingdom. He's coming back to bring destruction over all the earth in the battle of Armageddon and such. So we need to understand that. Now, Paul writes chapter 2. Paul's writing this text in chapter 2 to clear all of this up. That's what he's doing. He's clearing it up. He said, listen, you've heard a letter from somebody. You've heard all this deception stuff. I want to bring clarity to it. And he writes 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. All right? So today I want us to see this great falling away. There's going to be a period of time in the great falling away before the coming of the Lord. It's called the coming apostasy. Now, what does this word apostasy mean? Well, the Greek word, it comes from apostasia. The Greek word, it simply means a falling away. A falling away. It's a combination, the preposition, if you will, from or away from, and then the verb to stand. So in essence, it means a standing away from. A standing away from. And see, what that literally means is this. There's people like some of us in here today and as Christians that who've made a decision for Christ, or maybe some of them professed it. In their heart, they never really received Christ. They professed to be Christ. We've seen plenty come through here, and they walk down the aisle, I baptize them, and then the FBI can't find them. Don't know where they are. Well, I thought you got saved. I thought you gave your heart to Jesus. And when that happens, change happens. When you come to Jesus Christ, he changes your life. He's not a feel-good God. He doesn't just put a little salve on you and say, go on, do what you've been doing. He changes your life. And there's a lot of people out there that profess to be Christians who are not. Billy Graham says 75% of the church is lost. And so we don't know who's saved, but God does. But so when you see this word apostasy, it means a standing away from. There's some who have made a commitment. They have made a profession of faith, but they're standing away from it. They're not involved in the church. They're not involved in serving the Lord. They're not involved in loving Jesus. They are standing away. They've fallen away, if you will, from that commitment. That's what that word means, apostasy. It means a falling away. Yeah, you made a commitment. One day you were in church. One day you were serving the Lord. Now you're not. There's people on our row here at Lindsay Lane that used to serve the Lord faithfully. We can't even find them now. So what happened to them? Where are they? They've fallen away, right? They're falling away. And the Bible says before Jesus comes, before the great day of the Lord, there's going to be a great, greater than it is today, there's going to be a great falling away. Falling away from what? From God. From the things of God. From Christianity, especially in the things of God. It's coming today. We're going to see that. I believe we're seeing a glimpse of it now. But in the tribulation period, when it ushers in, you're going to see a great falling away. All right? And so that's the thrust of what he's talking about here. Paul reminds them, the coming rapture, the parousia, you'll be taken up in verse 1. It precedes the day of the Lord. Now, what is the day of the Lord? Before we go any further, I want to talk to you a little bit about the day of the Lord. Don't get it mixed up with the rapture. It's totally different. Now, the day of the Lord is not a particular day, all right? It's not just this day or that day. It's a period of time. It's a period of time, if you will, in history. It's repeatedly in the Old Testament prophets mentioned the day of the Lord. It's a day when God's going to bring judgment on planet Earth. You see, God hates what? Sin. And when sin begins to be rampant, God's judgment. We're inviting God's judgment. By the way, y'all heard about Sodom and Gomorrah? Have y'all heard about those cities we were talking about in Sunday school? What happened? They invited the judgment of God by their sinfulness, their wickedness. And when America gets to be wicked and sinful, we're inviting the judgment of God. And right now, the Holy Spirit of God, the ones in the church, the Christians, it's restraining him from coming back. Abraham said, just give me 50. Just give me 40. Couldn't even find 10 in the church. But God said, you find them, I'll hold it off. And so right now, he's holding it off. But it's coming. It's coming, church. And so that's why we've got to get to God, not run away and fall away from him. We really do. So I want to talk about that. It's exciting to talk about it, but it's also very serious. And it's really disturbing if you're not a Christian. And you ought to be disturbed. Because that day of the Lord is coming. It's going to come in a direct, dynamic, and drastic way like never before. Verse 3 calls it that day. Paul says, let no one deceive you by any means before that day. For that day will not come unless a falling away comes first. Daniel talks about the day of the Lord. Let me listen to Daniel. If you want to turn there, you can do that. Daniel chapter 12. The entire text is about the coming of the Lord. There's coming a dreadful, dreadful time in our history, if you will, in our future history, in our future, that is coming the day of the Lord. Daniel prophesied it. Now look with me in Daniel, if you will, chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. Chapter 12, this is prophecy of the end time. God spoken to Daniel. Look what he says. At that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble. Look at that. That's a tribulation period. This is the judgment of God coming. There shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation. Talking about Israel. And at that time your people shall be delivered, every one who is found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. Some to the everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. There's going to be two resurrections, if you will. Those who go to be with the Lord in heaven, raptured, and then those who are raised at the end time, they're resurrected to stand before the great white throne judgment of the judgment of God. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament. Look in verse 3. And those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. And in verse 4. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. You think increased knowledge has increased? Certainly it has. And so Daniel's got it shut up. God said, listen, now I want you to prophesy the great day of the Lord's coming, but I want you to seal it up until that time. And so also in the New Testament, look with me in Matthew. Now turn in the New Testament, Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. And I'm taking time this morning as an introduction to this message series. I want you to understand it. I really do. And I want you to understand what he's talking about in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. So in Matthew chapter 24, listen to what Jesus said about that day. Look in verse number 8. The whole chapter of 24 talks about it. But look in verse 8. And these are the beginning of sorrow. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation. There it is. And kill you. And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Now why would they be hated by all nations for the name of Christ? By the way, do you see that happening today? Are people hated because they profess Jesus Christ? Mention the name Jesus? Look at it says, verse number 10. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. By the way, family against family, brother against brother. It's happening. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. They're already among us too. A lot of false prophets. And because lawlessness will abound, wickedness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. Talking about in the tribulation period here. And the gospel of this kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. The great tribulation, look in verse 15. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken by a prophet, that's the 70th week in Daniel chapter 12. When you see that happening, he says, it's spoken by the prophet, then you'll know the prophet standing in the holy place. Now jump down to verse 21. Look what Jesus said in verse 21. For then there will be great tribulation, destruction. Look at that. For then there will be great tribulation on such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, not ever shall be. So what are you saying, Pastor? I'm just saying this. The Bible is very clear. It prophesies there's coming the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is not the rapture. That happens before the day of the Lord. But there's coming a day when God's judgment on sin, the wrath of God. Now, a lot of people don't want to hear this. A lot of preachers won't preach it. The wrath of God. God hates sin, and because he's a righteous God, a just God, he must judge sin. If he don't, the Bible's a lie. He's a lie. If he doesn't judge sin. So one day, all of his wrath culminated through all of history is going to come down on planet Earth, and he's going to wipe out and judge sin. He really is. And so you say, well, I'm glad I'm not going to go through that. Well, why aren't you going through it? Because Jesus took that wrath for you on the cross. When you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, he took that punishment for you. He took all of God's wrath on sin at Calvary, that whoever would believe and trust in him would not have to endure the judgment day. Amen. That's true, folks. And that's why it's imperative you become a Christian. It's not just so you can come to church and do good. It's because I'm telling you, there's a day coming when God's going to unload on sin and wickedness on this earth. And that day, I believe, is not far away. I don't have a clue when it is, but I'm telling you some of the things that's happened. I'm seeing some of this falling away, I believe. Now let me get into the message, all right? That's the introduction. Let me get into the message. And I'll begin to close here about 8 times, all right? Now, really, I'm going to cut it off today because I'm going to continue this, so you need to be coming back. It's hard to preach a series these days because you can't get folks here 4 weeks in a row. It's hard to do, but I'm going to be preaching this, so if you can come if you want, all right? That's your choice. All right, so the implication, as we look in 2 Thessalonians, verse number 3, back to their text, 2 Thessalonians, verse number 3, let no one deceive you by any means. For that day will not come unless there's a falling away first. And that's what I want to talk to you about today, is a great falling away. So let's look at it. The implication is before the day of the Lord comes, there's a day marked. There's a day marked off, or there's a time, not a day, there's a time marked off of a falling away period. A falling away period. Once the persecution and trials of the tribulation begins, the church will be raptured out, but once that tribulation period begins, people are going to start falling away from taking a stand from Christ or even mention Christianity. It'll be persecuted. That's why. And that's why they'll fall away. All right? Now, the Antichrist is going to come on the scene. The Antichrist will be coming on the scene. We'll know who he is by then. And so he's going to come on the scene, and he's going to deceive many. Deceive many. And I don't want to get into all this, but the first 3.5 years of the tribulation, they'll think he's the greatest person on earth. He's the savior of the world. It'll be one world order, and everybody will be worshiping and bowing down to this Antichrist. And everybody will thank God that all these old people that cramped our style, these old Christians, they're out of here. Now we got it right. And the first 3.5 years will be great, but then the second 3.5 years is going to be all Hades break loose. And I'm telling you, you can't even imagine. Read chapter 24 of Matthew and some other things about all the destruction that's going to happen during the great day of the Lord. But the falling away is going to happen first, all right? Now, I believe we're seeing somewhat of this even today. Now, what do you mean, Pastor, when you say we're seeing some of this today? Here's what I mean. Already, we're seeing a great culture shift. There's a great change. There's a great culture shift in our land today that we're witnessing. And some of us having a hard time even believing it, this culture shift. I'm not talking about the change in cell phones and all that. I'm not talking about that stuff I mentioned last week. I'm talking about theology. I'm talking about what we believe, what the Bible says. There's a culture shift in that, in the theology of our land today. And we better listen to it, because in the hearts of Judeo-Christians, we're changing from beliefs of previous years, what the Bible talked about. For instance, in the church, there you can just see it. There's a lack of commitment for the church as it used to be. And one of the reasons, I believe, is because we got so many things out there that's pulling us away. Before, you just worked in the field and went to church. You didn't travel much. You stayed where you were growing up and all of that, and you worked. So church was kind of a social thing, too. You got to go to church and meet your friends. But now you're pulled here, you're pulled there, you're involved in this, you're involved in that, and you're just pulled away in every direction from the church. Not that the church saves you, it doesn't. You don't have to go to church to be a Christian. You just do to be a good one. Amen? And so we're seeing all of this pulling us away, and all this deception is coming around. I'm telling you, all this stuff is happening. A lack of service. People just don't want to serve anymore. There used to be a lot of service in the church, and people served their church and was committed to their church, the body of Christ, where they got to worship and learn about God. And there's just a lack of commitment to that these days. And you say, well, Pastor, I don't know if I believe that. Well, you don't have to believe it, but it's true. I evaluate things in our church, and I watch, and I'm seeing the numbers in our Sunday school. Just for instance, Sunday school have went way down. People aren't committed to Sunday school anymore like they used to be. They used to like to come to Sunday school or Bible study or connecting groups, whatever you want to call it. It's a chance for you to get with your friends and study the Word of God. It's just a falling away from it now. There's not a need for it anymore. Do good to get them to preaching. Hello. Amen. And so are you seeing this? Am I telling you the truth? We're just seeing this kind of commitment today. We're committed out there more than we are in here, more. Again, not that this saves you at all, but it does. And then the giving, you know, our giving just plummets at times. Because you're pulled over here, you're pulled over there. And again, we're not committed to giving to the Lord and to His work like we used to be. And there's just a falling away from that. You can call it the signs of the times, whatever you want to call it. I'm calling it a culture shift in our mentality, in our commitment, in our dedication to the things of God. There's a culture shift. Things are getting the best of us, and it's not God. I'm just trying to be as very honest and open as I can through this series, and I want you to hear my heart, because I promise you, with all I have, I believe I'm telling you the truth. And we need to understand what's happening in our land and what's going to happen in these end times. And so we've got to be honest. We've got to look at it. Where are we today? We can evaluate what's going to happen 100 years from now, what happened 100 years ago. But what's happening right now? And we got to look at that. And we're living in a culture shift of liberalism. Let's ramp it like never before. Postmodernism, pluralism, humanism, and feel-goodism. I bet you can go on TV and you can go to 100 churches and 90 of them would never preach a message like this. You wouldn't hear a message like this in a lot of, because they want to draw a crowd. They want you to feel good and feel comfortable. All the while, we're falling away. Amen? And we got to hear, the truth will set us free. We got to know the truth. If you got a disease, do you want the doctor to tell you the truth or make you feel good about what you got? You say, no, doc, give me what I got. I can deal with it then. I'm giving you what we got. And so we can deal with it in our hearts and in our lives today. And so we need to understand the truth today. And I want to give you some things concerning culture shift today, and I'm going to move on next week or week after that, after Father's Day. Have y'all been watching, have you watched any commercials today? Now, young people, you don't understand how we've drifted away from some things. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. But have y'all seen just commercials? how they've changed from 10 years ago. I mean, you can't turn the TV on without hearing about Viagra and this other stuff, right? And there's another word or two I can mention, I won't. But it's right there. I'm telling you, the other night, I was flipping to that prime time. I looked at the clock, Jamie. It was 8:10, and a commercial came on that had a lot to do with sexual stuff. I mean, it wasn't Viagra either. And I'm telling you, I say this. This is where we're headed. This is where we're going. I'm not even talking about the 30-minute sitcoms. God help us if you watch those, some of them. It's unbelievable what's being portrayed and what's being pushed out to that tube among our land today. We never would have heard it 10 years ago. So what's happening? It's a culture shift. It's a culture shift. What's that mean? It means there's a falling away from the things of God and the things that pertain to God. Violence like never before, hatred, greed, blasphemy of God. You know, it's kind of ironic. And again, I'm not going to harp on this, but I got to mention it so you'll understand what I'm talking about. You know, when Bill Maher can go on TV and say that God's a psychotic mass murderer, he said that. Now, why didn't he lose his job? Why didn't he get taken off the air? Amen? He said it. He's a psychotic mass murderer who's egotistic. He talked about your God that way and my God. He didn't lose his job. He didn't lose any airtime. So what's happening? There's a culture shift. We're falling away from the things of God. It's happening right before. And this is something that's going to happen out there, the great falling away. The apostasy's coming, but it's already seeing signs. We're already seeing signs of it happening today. So the end must not be too far away. The way I look at it, you're seeing all these kind of things. Some of the greatest signs that I'm seeing today and you're seeing and the greatest issues of our day of the coming apostasy is the progression of abortion, divorce, cohabitation, and homosexuality. Those four things are on the increase. They're on the rampant. Now, 10 years ago or so, you wouldn't have heard much about that as much, especially 20 or 30 years ago. But now it's just, hey, it's every day. We've accepted it. It's just commonplace, kind of. So what's happening to me as a Christian and you as a Christian? What's happening to our culture that we live in? There's a great shift and there's a falling away from this book. It really is, from God. There's a falling away from it. It's apostasy. A falling away from the things of God. What about our drugs? It's unbelievable. I could go on and on with this. I was watching the other night on the news in Colorado where they legalized marijuana. They were raising money for the Colorado Sympathy. Symphony, what is it? They were raising money for it. You know what they had? A smoke-in. With marijuana. It was out there just like you'd serve candy. Had bowls and stuff. People were coming in, I mean, with suits and ties on. They were all just smoking it up. Raising money for that fun. And ain't that unbelievable that we live in such a day like that? It's just a great falling away. It's really, you can call it the signs of the times. Some of you call it progressive. Not me. That's not progressive. Let me just share a couple of things with you. Listen to this. Verse number 12. Look in verse number 12. Just look in verse 12. That they all might be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in righteousness. Now, what's the Bible mean? They may be condemned. They wouldn't believe the truth, but had pleasure in wickedness, in righteousness. You know, what people were once ashamed to practice in secret is now open in the streets. It's true. What sins were practiced by a few are now commonplace with multitudes. Topics that would make adults blush are everyday language. Advertising agencies know where the human heart is. They sell products based on sex. The free drug culture, legalizing marijuana and other things, no rules, live as you like, all these kind of things. We call it progressive. It's going to affect almost everybody in the church. It's going to affect all of us. And the Bible says that the love of many will wax cold. And so we look at it. Listen to what George Barner reports. George Barner is evaluating Christianity, evaluates the church. Listen to what he wrote. 39% people believe sin, that Jesus sinned while on earth. 59% believe Satan is not a living being but a symbol of evil. 58% believe the Holy Spirit is not a living entity but a symbol. And then on and on, 30%. Listen to this, 32% believe the Bible is not accurate as it teaches. And so this is where we're drifting to, and this is where we've kind of gone to in this great falling away. And so as we look at it today, and as you look at it, I just want you and I, as members of Lindsay Lane Baptist Church, as Christians, to understand where we are and where we're headed. And it ought to concern us. I just hope it concerns you. I hope this message, if it don't do anything else, it will help you to think about, you know, where are we headed? And you start looking at these signs. As I'm looking at these signs and you see what's happening, our culture shift, you begin to think, well, what is happening? Why are they doing that? Why are they allowing that? And you just wonder what's happening. It's a culture shift because we're falling away from the Bible. We're falling away from God's holy word in our land today, and we really are. Listen to what Albert Mohler said in Newsweek magazine. Listen to this quote. Albert Mohler is the president of Southern Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky. He said, a remarkable culture shift has taken place around us. The most basic contours of American culture has been radically altered. The so-called Judeo-Christian consensus of the last millennium has given way to a postmodern, post-Christian, post-Western culture crisis that's threatening the very heart of our culture. That's one of the reasons I want to start this service I talked to you about last week at 8:45 for our young people. Because I'm going to have a platform for every how time I have left here at Lindsay Lane. I'm going to use my platform to help teach these young people about the things of God. My message is not going to change, even though some of the things are going to change on this stage. My message is not going to change. And I want to help teach these young people, and I want to help teach them to be leaders of tomorrow and help them to see a culture shift that we as their parents and grandparents have allowed to creep into our land. And I pray that they would take a stand. And they're wanting to. We've got two of our youth right now on mission trips in Africa. Do you know that? We've got them signed, three of them actually, and we got them signing up. They're wanting to get involved. They're wanting to get plugged in. They're sick of status quo. And I believe we're going to have a venue here at 8:45. They're going to bring their friends to it, and we're going to see this place begin to grow with young people. And we're going to have an opportunity to invest in them, to train them about things of the future and where they're headed, where our nation's headed. And so I believe we're going to be able to help make a difference right here in our Jerusalem. I really do. And next Sunday, we're going to have Father's Day. And then after that, on June the 22nd, I'm going to go into these five things you see in your outline. All right? There's five things there that I've given you. Next Sunday week after Father's Day, I'm going to go through all five of those. And all five of those things are very prevalent in our society today and things we need to look at that's happening in the future. So we're going to deal with that, and then we're going to look at the Antichrist. We're going to talk about the Antichrist on June 22nd. This will be June the 29th. But on June the 22nd, we're going to talk about the Antichrist and how he deceives so many. All right? All right. So you can close your Bibles. Told you. Jamie's shocked. He's about to pass out up here because I didn't say I'm almost closing. I am closing way before I usually do because I just want to talk to you, church. I'm talking to you wide open from my heart to yours. I feel like your pastor, that I need to be truthful with you from what I would interpret the scripture to say. Now, I could stand up here and preach on petting your dog and all that kind of stuff and just make you feel real good and You'd leave out of here just smiling. It's not going to change you. It's not going to help you to grow. What I want to do is teach you the truth. Not from a negative standpoint, but from a realistic standpoint. But we got to get serious about Christianity, about the second coming of Christ and people dying and going to Hades. We got to get serious about that. We really do. You've got to get serious about raising your children, influencing your home. What are we teaching our children by our examples? I'm going to share that on June the 29th, by the way, kind of what's happening with our examples. But right now, if you're here today and God's led you here and you don't know Jesus Christ, you may believe there's a God, you may even read your Bible, you may even pray at times, but you're sitting right there in your seat. You know that if Jesus did come back right now, and all of us who are Christians were raptured up, you'd still be sitting there. Because you know you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Now that sounds like something we're going to be talking about in Vacation Bible School, doesn't it? Some kind of far-fetched stuff like that. Or just the Transformers and all those kind of things. I'm telling you, that's happening. One day, if we're here and Jesus comes back, just like this, we'll be raptured out of here. And those who are not will be left behind. Are you going to be left behind? Are you a Christian? Do you know you belong to Jesus? If you don't, I'd settle that right now. Because I'm telling you, we're seeing a great falling away. We really are. And so you better come while the restrainer is here, the Holy Spirit is moving in your heart. And I just want to encourage you to do that. Maybe you're looking for a church family. You're out there drifting around. You just need to get plugged into a good church. This is a good church. I'd ask you, if God's leading you here, come and get plugged into Lindsay Lane and start learning and growing and serving Him right here in this place. And then the altar will be open if you just need to come and pray. Maybe there's some things heavy on your heart today. Something I didn't even talk about today. Whatever. You just need to come and pray. Maybe come with somebody. You have the freedom to do it. We have people all the time coming to the altar and praying. This is called an invitation. Jesus gave many. Come, He said, come. Knock, and it shall be opened. If you'll knock, He'll open the door of your heart, and He'll come in. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank You for the Word. Thank You for blessing us today. Lord, You've spoken heavy, heavy today into our hearts. These are subjects you don't hear about every day. These are subjects a lot of people won't touch. But Lord, it's reality. It's where we are. We're seeing a falling away in our land today from You and from Your Word and the things of God. We're being deceived. We're being deceived. It's making way for the Antichrist. It's paving the way. Deception is already starting. People have become deceived from the truth. But the truth will set you free. And if Jesus Christ sets you free, you will be free indeed. And I pray many would come this morning and receive Christ. Some would come and just join the church and just pray. Lord, have Your will and Your way in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand with us? I'm going to ask you to come. If God's speaking into your heart, you come on right now as we sing. Come on. My sin. Flood the darkness deep.